Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money better, and I've got some great topics today. First, we're going to talk about how some states in the country are in recession, while other states are doing great. We're going to look at impacts on the shutdown on financial regulation. In the Plan Your Prosperity segment, I thought we'd take a breath and talk about financial vampires. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy segment, we're going to talk about fringe benefits and open enrollment. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending October 3rd, 2025. And the Dow was up 1.1%. while the S&P 500 was up almost 1.1%, and the NASDAQ was up about 1.3%. Gold was up 3.25%, while oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price, dropped by 6.89%. It's currently $6.70 a barrel. The dollar index went up 1.19%. And the 10-year Treasury yield dropped 5.5%. That current rate is 4.121%. Because the yield went down, the aggregate bond fund, AGG, went up 0.1%. And Bitcoin was the big winner of the week, up almost 12%, with the VIX, the volatility index, up almost 9%. So this week, we're seeing more of a return to volatility, most likely because of the government shutdown and some of the things that are really uncertain about this. So I'm taping this show on Sunday this week. So it's Sunday, October 5th. And at this point, the government is shut down, does not look to be opening anytime soon. And we're just going to have to wait and see how everything plays out. So we really have a tale of two economies going on right now in the United States. Some of the states are doing quite well where there's expansion. Like I live in Oklahoma. We're expanding right now, partly because we have oil and gas, partly because we're not really being hit by anything impacted by the tariffs. And so far, we haven't had horrible DOGE cuts. Now, this whole picture could change this week if, in fact, they not only not pay the federal workforce, but actually fire them, as there's been some threat of doing. So the states that are doing well are the states that haven't had a lot of DOGE impact and haven't had a lot of tariff impact, which means they're not directly in the import or export business. The states that are actually more agricultural in crops that you send overseas have been more impacted by the tariffs. The states that do more manufacturing have been more impacted by the tariffs. So right now, 22 states in the country are in recession. That means that they have had 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP or gross domestic product, but on the state level, not on the federal level. About the same number are in recession. And then there are states in the middle that are just kind of holding their own. They aren't showing any great trends either way. So what it means is that the country's a little teetery right now. And if too many more things were to go wrong, it could throw the country as a whole into a recession. It may not. You're going to hear different economic opinions on this. And some people are saying that, yes, things are looking quite scary. And by some people, I'm really only listening to name brand economists, okay? Big people do this for a living. I have no interest in what TikTok thinks, no interest in what influencers think. These are boring people who have different opinions. Some believe that the market is so strong that it will keep the country itself out of a recession. But, you know, it's a recession if it's me. It's a recession if it's you, and it's a depression if it's me. With 22% of the country in states that are in recession right now, it explains a lot of the negative sentiment. So we're just going to have to wait and see, where are the cuts? Where is the job loss? Is some of this just simply talk, as I am inclined to think it is, or do things happen this next week? I do believe that a week from today, so a week from Sunday, we're going to have a much better idea how much of this is political rhetoric and how much of this is reality. Remember that some of the people who are very conservative, you know, if you listen to this show a lot, you know I'm pretty blue. I try not to let it impact anything, but I'm still a relatively liberal person. But even people who don't agree with me on some things political do not want their states damaged. So there may be a lot of internal pressures going on to make sure that some of the more draconian things said last week stay rhetoric and not reality. But like I said, I think we're going to know pretty quick what's going on with all of this. And when we know what's going on, we'll have a better idea whether this is just one more thing or whether we're actually into whole new territory and the markets really respond to it. If you notice, the markets did not care a bit that the government shut down this week. I think the markets are, you know, leave me alone and I'll leave you alone sort of mood, which is going to be good unless something happens to kind of break that spell. I'm not saying it will. I am saying the markets are on a bit of a sugar high. We're going to have to wait and see how all of that goes to see what happens next. See if this really remarkable rally, the rally that's been impervious to a lot of things, continues, or if we have a bit of a pullback. The only thing you need to think about as an investor is looking at your risk tolerance. Make sure you still agree with it. Look at your asset allocation. Make sure it matches your risk tolerance. Make sure that that asset allocation is also positioned in a way to help you make your financial goals and that you haven't used one set of assumptions for that and a lower set of assumptions for what you wanted out of the market. So all you can do really right now, I think that's sensible, is just shore everything up. Make sure everything's the way it needs to be so that if something does happen, you don't get as hurt as you would if you had just been ignoring things.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And no surprise, everything in legislation this week concerned the shutdown. One of the things that does bear noting is we do not have access to as good of economic data as we normally do because some of those agencies that put the data out have been shut down as part of this government closure. So, for example, on Friday, we did not get jobs numbers. When we're trying to make decisions about what's going to happen with interest rates, when we're trying to make decisions about what's happening with the economy, not having access to that data becomes very difficult. Now, I was listening to the Sunday news shows this morning, and they said that the last time this happened, although no one would admit to it, both the White House and the Federal Reserve got the data even when the market was, so even when the government was supposedly shut down. It makes sense that there could be some shadow work that is done by a few officials while the government is closed. It also makes sense that earlier into a shutdown, it is much easier to get that data because it's basically already been put together. They'd only be putting the finishing touches on this. Now, to give you an idea as to what this means, since 1976, there were 21 government shutdowns. The latest, which was also the longest, was 34 days from December 22nd, 2018 to January 25th, 2019. Most of the time, the government shutdowns have only been a short period of time. They last about 8 days, which is one reason why it's been easier to get data to the people who absolutely needed to have it. Because when you're only closed a week, most of that work has already been done. There is some talk on this one. And again, you know, it all depends on who you're listening to, although I'm hearing this from a number of different locations who have very different motivations in why they're saying it, that this shutdown might be much longer than average. They're saying that they're expecting the government to be shut down through October and maybe end right before Thanksgiving, November 27th. Now, that would make it the longest shutdown, if that were to happen. Sorry, I had to do some math in my head there, and I don't do that very well. So that would make it the longest government shutdown. There's also the possibility that the shutdown could go into the winter. Now, for the people who are saying it needs to be shut down until the subsidies are put back into the Affordable Care Act. From everything I've heard, that is the big takeaway that Democrats want from this. Some of those offsets, the credits that let people have a discounted price on their health insurance, are scheduled to go away the end of the year. And so that is the big push that the Democrats want put into this new budget to make sure that that doesn't happen. The funding was taken out in the big, beautiful bill that already passed. The Democrats want it put back in. The Republicans do not. And right now, there doesn't appear to be a lot of compromise on it. You know, one reason it might stretch longer is rather than doing a compromise, the Democrats may choose healthcare as a hill to die on. And given, you know, the popularity of health insurance, you know, nobody liked Obamacare when it was first created, but give it 4 or 5 years and it became incredibly popular. This is basically rolling back one of the big chunks that makes Obamacare work, which is the government subsidy to make the price of insurance more affordable. And it's not just insurance for the indigent cost, okay? This is insurance from people who, by Oklahoma income standards, I would call comfortably middle-class people. Their insurance is going to skyrocket as those credits are removed. Also, it's very important to know that illegal immigrants are not allowed to enroll in the Affordable Care Act. They are not allowed to have Social Security benefits. So the big argument that the Democrats are wanting to open this up for illegals, that is absolutely positively not true. What is true is anybody who walks into an emergency room bleeding out gets treatment. Okay, so that is the only possible place that I can see where someone who is here illegally can get some form of subsidized health care because some of the hospitals get Medicaid money. That's why that works that way. But they can't enroll in the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. It is the same thing. They're not eligible for Social Security. So the argument really is not sound. And it's important to know that. And I don't know why they're going there other than apparently the term illegal immigrant has become a triggering word for some people, so they use it as often as possible. But it isn't what this is. So, you know, choosing to try to save that could make it stretch on. There is a possibility that if the person who's supposedly in charge of some of this, Russell Vogt, who was the architect of Project 2025, and I'm using the president's own terms here, things he put out on social media this week. I'm not making this up. Maybe closing the government was always the point. And if closing the government was always the point, now we have a much bigger problem. That problem will ripple through the stock market, but probably not this week, right? I think this would be something that if the thing just doesn't come to an end, that we're going to have to reconsider the impact that this is going to have on things. Now, if you receive Social Security, your Social Security payments are going to come through just fine. If you are receiving Medicare benefits, your Medicare benefits are just fine. If you are a federal retired employee, your pension payment is funded from a different source of money than where they're funding the salaries. So federal pensions are not going to be impacted by this. So, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people right now who are really worried. And not only for themselves, but, you know, close family members who may be losing their jobs, may have lost their jobs. It's very hard to survive long-term shutdowns. Yeah, this is why we talk about emergency funds and why I said it doesn't matter how sure your job is. It makes sense to have an emergency fund. This is not being critical of people who have lost their jobs right now. But you know, if you have a job and everything's going okay, it might really be a good idea to lay some money back just in case something goes wrong.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about financial vampires. It's Halloween season, the time when we decorate with pumpkins, buy candy for little goblins, and watch monster movies. A perennial favorite is Dracula. Movie vampires are spooky fun, but financial vampires can be more dangerous. These creatures of the night drain your wallet of cash. Sometimes they leave your money feeble, or even worse, they can kill your financial dreams outright. A surprisingly dangerous financial vampire is the forgotten subscription. It's so easy to sign up for music, movie channels, and video games. For business owners, subscriptions can become even more expensive: imagery, software, and communication services. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of these. However, after you enroll, it's easy to forget about your purchase. Even worse, you may not even be using the service. The only constant is the monthly sucking of money from your wallet. To kill the subscription vampire, look at your credit card, bank, and cell phone statements each month. Cancel anything you aren't using. If it's an annual subscription, put a note on your calendar to stop the service as soon as you can. Now, if these are things you are using, of course you can continue to subscribe. I'm not being judgmental about the subscription. I'm saying you want to cancel anything you're not using. Online shopping is another kind of financial vampire. During COVID, many of us began buying necessities from apps on our phones or computers. The updated process certainly saves time and may lessen unplanned purchases at stores like supermarkets. However, other online shopping sites offer easy access to almost anything with the swipe of a finger. This is the definition of an impulse purchase. Of course, some items are necessary, but others are purchased on a whim or if you're bored. You can kill the online shopping vampire the same way you kill the in-store shopping vampire. So if you see something that you want and it isn't on a list, it isn't something that you need to click off of the site. You have to wait 72 hours. After 72 hours, if you still want the item, then you can go back and purchase it. Now, this is assuming it's not crazy expensive. It's something you can afford. It just wasn't really something that you needed. When I shop in a store, if I see an impulse purchase, I walk away from the store. I leave. I get in my truck and I go home. And then if I really, really want it, I drive back to the store to buy it. Where online shopping is worse is how easy it is just sitting there on your phone. You don't have to get off your couch. So the only way that I have found to make this work is just leave the site like you'd leave the store. If you have to bookmark the item, go ahead and bookmark it, but leave the site. And then if you need to put a note on something, you can write yourself a note and say, you know, if you still want this in 72 hours, you can go back and buy it. A lot of times you'll see something, it's like, oh, wow, this is great. I need this. And, you know, a day later even, it's like, no, I don't. I absolutely do not need this. I was bored. I was just needing to look at things. And then I found this thing and I don't need it and I'm not buying it. So slow your impulse purchasing and you'll go a long way to actually not making the purchase at all. Now, the final kind of financial vampire is the money script vampire. Money scripts come from a part of finance called interior finance, which is part of behavioral finance. You may have heard of behavioral finance. Behavioral finance says that we are not rational with our money. We make decisions because of things that our friends do, because of things that we're afraid of, because of ways that we were raised around money. Sometimes those long-term conditioning items can be positive, right? If your family always kept a budget and stayed within their means and you're following that, that's great. But many times the money scripts that we've picked up, usually from childhood, maybe from family, maybe from culture, maybe from religious figures in our lives, they can also be really, really dangerous to our financial health. So that if you are raised that wealthy people are bad and they got their money because they don't treat other people the right way, if you start to acquire money and somewhere in the back of your brain you believe that people with money are bad, you will sabotage yourself and you will do things that will keep you from becoming a bad person. If you were taught that, you know, life is short, you should enjoy today, then you're not going to be inclined to want to save. You know, I've seen people with long-term medical situations develop this money script. And they've actually developed it by themselves because there really was no sense that they would live a long time. So as a result, they buy what they want today because they really don't think they're going to have tomorrow. The problem with that becomes, you know, sometimes we live much, much longer than we think we're going to live, and things can get cured. There are things coming up in medical science all of the time that are extending our life expectancy. And so if you're not thinking you're going to live to be old, and you don't make plans to be old, and then you have a nice, long, healthy life, you may have some financial pain later on down the roads. So what you need to do is think about those beliefs you have about money. They're so deeply held, probably, you don't even think of them as your beliefs. You just think of it as the way it is. A real money script is so part and parcel of who we are that we don't even think we're making a judgment or that we have an opinion. This is just the way the world works. So you need to think about those. And if they're good, healthy relationships with money, that's fabulous. If they aren't, try to come up with the root. Once you see them in the light of day, like other kinds of vampires, they tend to poof, and then you realize the mistake that it was. Most money mistakes are things that you haven't actually taken the time to address. So look at your money beliefs. Hold them out to the light of day, really think about it, and try to change things that if you work with it long enough, you'll realize it might not be healthy. And then you can go back and you can watch the monster movies. You'll have a little bit of extra money. You can buy some popcorn and have a fun Halloween season.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And now that it's October, in many companies, it's open enrollment period for your company plan benefits, sometimes called fringe benefits, sometimes called a cafeteria plan. But this is the month where you are free to make changes in the benefits that your employer is providing for you if they offer that kind of a plan. The first benefit is health insurance, and probably the health insurance the way you have it now is fine. But if you've had a change in situation, like if you've had a baby or you've gotten a divorce or you've gotten married, you'll want to make sure that you have everything in your health insurance the way it needs to be. Remember on disability insurance, if your employer pays the premium, then the benefits are taxable to you, where if it's part of a cafeteria plan and it would be your money to take, but you just choose to use it on benefits, then the benefit should come to you income tax free. It's worth a short conversation with HR to make sure how you're enrolled, because disability benefits are only 65% of your salary in the first place, so you don't want to lose taxes on top of that to what you're doing. Once you have the insurance, you know, maybe you need life insurance. Now, if you enrolled in life insurance at the time that you started working, you didn't have any underwriting. If you change your life insurance now that you're already an employee, there may be underwriting, which means your personal health will play a role in what your premiums are and in what you're eligible to enroll in. Sometimes there's underwriting, sometimes there isn't. Again, worth a question before you just make decisions and then realize things cost more than you thought they would. But if you've gotten married and you had been single and you didn't have much life insurance before, you may have a bigger life insurance need. So it just makes sense to look at that. Other kinds of benefits can be dental insurance, vision insurance, childcare costs. All sorts of things are options inside of a cafeteria plan, and you'll just want to go through everything, make sure that you've gotten everything enrolled the way you want, and make sure you get any paperwork turned back in before the deadline. Usually, you have about a month to do this, so you've still got plenty of time. It's just the 5th of October, so if you had the month of October, you've almost got time to worry about it. But don't blow it off. Don't ignore it. Don't say, okay, I'm going to look at that here in a couple of weeks. You want to take the time now to make sure that you've got everything within your fringe benefits, within your cafeteria plan, the way that you want it to be. Remember, too, that income tax filing deadline, TikTok, is approaching. And last week I said that even though the government is shut down, your taxes are still due on October 15th. That is the case. I don't care where you live in the United States. You need to pay those taxes because, you know, making a protest of, well, I don't agree with something. The IRS doesn't care if you agree. Okay, you owe the taxes, you'll get yourself in a world of trouble. So ignore some voices out there that I'm hearing that are saying don't pay the taxes. Yeah, that is incredibly bad advice. Usually I say you need to consult your team, but trust me on this one. You need to pay your taxes. You need to make sure that you have everything in order and they've got to be postmarked by October 15th so you don't get in trouble. Otherwise, the month of October, I'm pretty quiet. I've been doing a lot of traveling, so now I'm writing, and I'll have more I can talk to you about that on a later show.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.